Hey, everybody, and welcome into another episode of the Make Comics podcast from Comics Experience. I'm Joey Groh, he's Andy Schmidt, and we take your questions about making comics and talk through the nuts and bolts of all aspects. So this week we have a question that I actually like a lot because I think about it when I listen to music, and I'm curious if it's something that you listen for, or it just actually occurred to me not too long ago, and I'll give the way that I phrase it now. After. The question we have is, when is it a good idea for a character to break the fourth wall? I see this a lot in one of my favorite comic/TV shows, Ultimate Spider-Man, and they always use that to give a funny anecdote or give backstory. I wanted to get your take on it, and this is from Randy Mahoney. I think I first became acutely aware of it in songwriting when somebody is referencing in their song that it's actually a song in Barry Manilow's Mandy, which I now in my head always think like it's the Manilow effect. I'm sure it's got a different kind of way that it's called to be that self-referential, or if it is breaking the fourth wall. But the more I listen to stuff now, I always feel like I'm, oh yeah, they're breaking the fourth wall. They're talking about this is a song, or that they're talking directly to the listener, which, you know, in some cases I find works extremely well, and in some cases I find can be kind of distracting. But comics, I don't actually know when it started, but I know thinking about like an Ultimate Spider-Man or a Deadpool, it seems like a lot of times it is associated with comedy or moment to give you a breather where you get kind of meta commentary, or you're able to say, look, I know this is really silly, or it seems like it's a deus ex machina, but this is where we're going. Hey, I'm with you. You know, it's an acknowledgement to the reader for any number of reasons. I don't know if you've ever worked directly on titles where that's either been a trope or something that you've been introduced that you're able to introduce to, but you know, breaking the fourth wall versus talking directly to the reader, they're kind of separate in my head. I don't know if that's something that's like a common rule of thumb.
Yeah, well, I think there are different versions of it. I mean, I don't think we need to get so, you know, pedantic with our definitions that we can't sort of talk about all of them, but there are a couple of examples that come to mind. The first time I remember it in superhero comics was in She-Hulk, John Byrne's She-Hulk. She would break the fourth wall and you know, give a wink and a nod to the reader, and she seemed to be aware that she was in a comic book. Years later, I was editing Captain Marvel, and Peter David was the writer on that, and we were wrapping up the series. It was going away, and issue 25 was the final issue, and so Peter wanted to like close up shop in the comic. Mm-hmm. One of the things about Captain Marvel is he's got cosmic awareness, this like, you know, cosmic like sees things, knows things sort of thing. And so what we revealed in that issue was that as the book was being canceled and like they were like closing the sets down and like tearing down sets and all that sort of stuff, that Rick, one of the human characters that's you know, bonded with Captain Marvel, like wasn't worried about anything. He's like, oh yeah, well, I've got comics awareness. So it was a play, you know, obviously a play on cosmic awareness, but so he has comics awareness, and so he knew that being canceled wasn't the end, basically. So that was like a version of that. He didn't speak directly to the reader. I don't think he ever like looked at the reader, but I mean, pretty clearly, you know, it was at least meta. And then you know, Bendis did something again similar, but still very much in the story. And when I was editing Alias, in the arc with the Purple Man, which was just an amazing piece of work by Brian and Michael Gatos. But the Purple Man, who's this sort of insane character and like super like menacing character, seemed to be aware that he was in a comic book. And so that was really interesting because this was the character. He never was talking to the reader. He just believed that he was in a story. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, again, that's not really breaking the fourth wall, because breaking the fourth wall technically means you are aware that you're actually in a physical comic book and you're talking directly to the reader. But I'm just, the reason I bring those three things up is because they all revolve around this, the meta idea of being of creating art that is aware that it is being viewed or read by an audience. As for when it's appropriate, I agree with you. It tends to work well in comedies because you can put out like a lame joke, but as long as you know your character acknowledges to the reader that it's lame, then that's kind of funny.
Right.
It kind of helps, and it kind of helps that to have characters that are able to comment on, you know, and it helps on things like fantasy or superhero stuff where there's a lot of, you know, just completely implausible stuff that tends to happen, you know, like gaining superpowers. So there's, it does tend to work well that way. But, you know, breaking the fourth wall is your character. You can also have, you know, narrators that are aware that it is a fiction, right? I mean, you can have a third person narrator that is aware that it's a book. So it all depends, but you know, all of these things depend that on the tone really that you want to go for. I mean, it is breaking the fourth wall, to my knowledge, doesn't tend to actually affect the outcome of the story. So, you know, I mean, and what I mean by that is, you know, I can't think of a case where, you know, there's a mystery to be solved and the main character can't solve, this is a lame example, but the character can't solve the main mystery and can't figure out who the bad guy is, breaks the fourth wall and says, "Hey, reader, who did it?" And then like sits there and waits and goes, "Oh, it was Dr. Doom.
Right.
Thanks." And then goes and kicks Dr. Doom's butt. You know, so like, I don't recall anything like that. However, if you watch some early development children's cartoons, you know, I'm looking at you, Dora the Explorer. You know, Dora does do stuff like that. You know, she tends to turn around and go, "Which one is the blue door?" And then she waits and she's like, "Right." And then she goes through the blue door. You know, that's an educational tool that's a little different, right? But
right.
That's still the same idea. So I think breaking the fourth wall doesn't typically. I mean, you can always break a rule and you could do it in a really effective way. I mean, that could be a pretty funny thing if Spider-Man's just like, "Who did it? Oh, it was Dr. Doom. Great. I'll head over to Latveria." Like, that'd be pretty funny, I think. I think a lot of fans would go crazy if and when they do that. But I think it would be pretty funny. So I think it depends mainly on the tone, on the feel of the book. I mean, that tends to be something that you kind of layer on top. You know, I think of it almost as it is a narrative device. So I think of it that way. And I think if it fits the style of the comic that you want to do, then do it. And if it doesn't fit the style of the comic, I mean, in the case of the Purple Man arc and Alias, that was done as a horror effect. And again, it wasn't technically exactly what we're talking about. In the case of She-Hulk, it was done for comedy. You know, in the case of that Captain Marvel instance that I gave, you know, it was done also for a comedy, but also it was a way to sort of acknowledge our readership and say thanks. I mean, I didn't give an example of where it was that, but there, that was an element in that issue. You know, so I think it just depends on what you're trying to accomplish. But I'd be curious as a creator. Like, I mean, now I'm sitting there thinking and going like, "Hey, could I do like, you know?" I remember I had an idea that I pitched at one time for a Silver Surfer project where he became aware that he was fiction, and it never went anywhere. But I still really like the idea of a character finding out that he's fiction and having to deal with that. But again, that's not necessarily breaking the fourth wall. That's meta, which is sort of a bigger, you know, a bigger umbrella than breaking the fourth wall kind of falls under it. But yeah, that's where I'm headed. It's not a clear answer because it's not as simple as if this, then this, right? It's if it works for what you're trying to do, then do it. Or if you want to experiment, I mean, cause I'm a big fan of experimenting in writing. I'm working on a project right now where I'm doing a second person narrator, and it's really hard because the second person narrator is the narrator that addresses the character. So it's like, you've got to pick yourself up, get yourself, get off your back, get up and kick that guy's butt, you know? And it's, but like, how do you do that? And how much does that narrator know about what you're capable of or about what else is going on in the world? And so, you know, I'm experimenting with that and I'm having fun doing it. So I would say if you're interested in breaking the fourth wall, experiment, see what works, feel it out, try it on. It's like trying on clothes at the wherever you buy clothes and try them on. And it's like, see if it fits. And if it does, wear it with pride.
Go to the fourth wall try-on store, see what it does for you. I think comedy, that to me springs to mind first because it seems like, oh, well, this is a little bit of a pressure release. And for me as a writer, when I think about it, I think I would have to kind of play around to figure out, does this work if I were to take it in a more serious tone or if I were to try to say something different? Because it seems like it either works or it doesn't. And to pull it off effectively, the conditions need to be right, which isn't to say, you know, don't try it and fail. I think about it a lot when I'm working with clients, if earlier in their development, then they don't have a lot of video experience. And in some cases, what they want to depict is showing a narrative of something happening where people on camera are never looking at camera going, I am on camera, versus something where it's looking directly at camera and talking to an audience and trying to connect in a different way and having the client understand the two outcomes. You know, what are we trying to do? Well, it's always an artifice. They're always going to be reading off prompter or memorized or having some kind of Q&A, or they're not looking at all and they're still following a script and we're still working towards an end goal. It's just how do you want to deploy it and what do you want to say? I realize that's not quite the same way, and especially in something that's more of a, you know, a fiction narrative kind of situation where you might be playing it for laughs and, you know, we get to mug at the camera. I'll show my age and always think about moonlighting. I feel like was one of the earliest times I remember, oh my gosh, that guy's looking at me. You know, when Bruce Willis would look at camera and give you an acknowledgement of, can you believe this? You know, it was such a great way that show worked, where it was able to kind of ride those lines that it was able to balance on and go off the rails in one way but get back on the rails because they established their universe and played by those rules. So there was always consistency. And it made sense, and it wasn't used all the time. It was used when it was effective, or when somebody's like, "I gotta get out of this." Hey, how about it? How about we look at camera and go, "Can you believe this guy?"
Yeah, yeah. Another one from the '80s, you old man. That like I remember like freaked me out when I saw it because I was pretty little. Was Michael Jackson's Thriller?
Oh yeah.
You go through that whole video and that snazzy dance routine with zombies, and then at the end of it, you know, he turns around, looks at the camera, and he's got like the cat eyes, and I was pretty sure he was going to kill me. it's awesome. I still love that video. I mean, you can't beat that. That's still, I think, the greatest video ever made. That and, of course, A-ha's Take on Me, which, you know, they go into a comic book, speaking of breaking the fourth wall.
Who knows?
Or at least being meta.
I think we're winding it all, bringing it all together. We're actually talking.
Yeah, we're actually talking about '80s music now, which I think is where this needed to go. Well, this was Randy's question, right? So, Randy, let us know if this was at all helpful or at least entertaining to listen to two guys ramble.
Okay.
I think if we had anything good we're saying, I think we said it.
Nope. We're coming back to more 80s video talk. I could do that all day. That's a separate podcast that I've actually pitched to a friend of mine. And if you're going to New York Comic Con this week, if you're listening in when and around this episode drops, you can find Andy there walking around. No table, no booth, but you're going to have three panels. You can find that in the program.
Two panels. One is the first one's Friday. It's actually in the evening, and that's Breaking Into Comics. So if you listen to this, there's a likelihood that you'd be interested in that panel. I don't have the exact time in front of me. I think it's like 7 or 8 p.m. Friday night. And then I'm being interviewed on their live stream about writing video games because I've written several video games. And then on Sunday, I believe it's on Sunday, I'm doing a family thing where parents and kids come in and we'll have paper and stuff for them. And in the hour that we have there, I'll teach the kids and sort of teach the parents too, kind of how to work with their kids on artistic projects like this in a really encouraging way to foster that creativity. So you're not like, no, not like that. That's not what a panel looks like, but like really encouraging stuff, you know, to develop, you know, to encourage artistic endeavors within the kids. And they'll come out, they should come out, be able to come out, you know, with your, you know, with your help, depending on how little they are or whatever. But with a full page comic. You know, with a story, beginning, middle, and end, and that's pretty fun. I've done that a couple of times, and the kids have a blast, and usually parents have a good time too, and I always have a good time because, you know, kids are funny. So yeah, so that's what we're doing. But then I will definitely be around the show, you know, walking around and, you know, meeting with folks. And so if I'm walking around and you see me and you recognize me, feel free to say hi.
Bump into Andy, make him.
Try not to knock me over.
Make him guess your favorite 80s song just by you humming it. And I think that's a good way to end any convention or introduce yourself. The two dances I've done publicly in my life, danced at my reception and Thriller. I'm just putting that out there, and I'm going to bring it all back to more music, cuz I'm going to do my rendition of Mandy finally. We've got a captive audience. They can't turn it off because we haven't wrapped it up and haven't done plugs.
Right.
So I think we're good.
Yeah, and you just put your dances on as a matter of public record, which needed to happen eventually.
And edit. I think one of them was seen by a large group of people, and one of them was seen by more of a group of children, so I'll let you guess which one. Which one was which? With, you know, breaking the fourth wall is a writing technique. That actually brings to mind something like being able to have a conversation with somebody and seeing if you get feedback, which makes me think of the Creators Workshop, which is a place where I know that I can go and ask a very random question or a very, you know, specific, or get into a group discussion. But it's always good to have that kind of feedback and bounce ideas off of other people that are thinking about writing in a similar way or creating comics in a similar way.
Yeah, and also it's a place for experimentation, which we talked about. So if you want to experiment with a fourth wall and get feedback on it, like you were saying, and get involved in discussions about the creative process, about narrative techniques, about how storytelling works, you know, all of that stuff, you can do that all on our Creators Workshop. So if you're not familiar with the Creators Workshop, I know we mention it fairly often on here, but go to comicsexperience.com and click on the workshop link there and read all about it. And if you're interested, try it out and join us.
Excellent. Well, if you have a question that you'd like to hear discussed on the show, you can email info@comicsexperience.com. You can also tweet at Andy. He's on Twitter @comicexperience, and we will happily talk about it on the show. Until next time, keep making comics. And Barry, take us out.